From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast, is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Hey, it's Will Friedle.
And Sabrina Bryan.
And we're the hosts of the new podcast, Magical Rewind.
You may know us from some of your favorite childhood TV movies, like My Date with the President's Daughter.
And the Cheetah Girls movies.
Together, we're sitting down to watch all the movies you grew up with and chat with some of your favorite stars and crew that made these iconic movies happen.
So kick back, grab your popcorn, and join us. Listen to Magical Rewind on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Brought to you by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
We are the voice of NASCAR.
The green flag is in the air, and we are underway the great American race.
The Motor Racing Network. NASCAR Cup, Xfinity, and Craftsman Truck Series Racing. Live on your hometown radio station and MRN or NASCAR.com. Martinsville, Talladega, the Chicago Street Course. We have the side-by-side action and last lap passes for the win.
Photo finishes. Ryan Blaney will win.
The voice of NASCAR, the Motor Racing Network. Work.
The 2024 presidential campaign features two candidates who are very well known to Americans. And yet, there's complexity at every turn. Criminal trials for one of those candidates. Young voters who are angry. The Campaign Moment podcast from The Washington Post gives you what matters. I'm Aaron Blake, and I'm covering my 10th election cycle. My colleagues and I have insights that you won't find anywhere else. So follow The Campaign Moment right now, wherever you're listening.
Welcome to Guys We Fuck,
the anti-slut-shaming podcast.
Yo, you haven't said?
I'm Christina Hutchinson.
I'm Corinne Fisher.
And I'm your boyfriend. Bring us your slutty, your horny, and your shame.
Hey, you a slut?
Yes.
Okay. Let's talk about fucking.
What up, fuckers? How you doing? Are you doing okay? It's hard out here, you know? Welcome to another episode of Guys We Fucked.
It's the Anti-Slut-Shaming Podcast. I'm Corinne Fisher.
I'm Christina Hutchinson.
Welcome to our show.
Did you watch a comedy special yet on youtube.com/guyswefucked without the U and fucked? You probably did. Thank you. We appreciate
it. We hope.
It. Yeah.
Oh,
I mean,
God.
You can only hear something so many times before your hair starts falling out. You know what I mean?
Absolutely. And if you want to email us, you know how to do it. It's sorryaboutlastnightshow@gmail.com. We got a bunch of good stories and we appreciate it. Thank you so much for sending them in.
Thank here. You. My soul needed it.
Here is one of them. I think the bad ones are funny.
They are. And they're interesting and they're necessary because that's how we learn. But good God, I need one good one in a sea of bad.
Yeah. I guess the fact that everyone keeps sending us bad stories kind of makes me feel better that I'll say like something very explicitly and then, you know, I'll be like, the sky is blue. And then everyone on the online will be like, Corinne just said the sky is pink. And I don't know how she thinks the sky is pink. It's like, is she even thinking about like inclusivity?
That's because people have pent up energy in them probably from, you know, their upbringing. And then they're like, how do I get it out? I'll just yell at this lady.
So this subject line is very direct. It's called a good story.
Thank you.
Hi, great. Corinne and Christina. In last week's episode and bonus episode, Christina put out a call for good stories.
I did.
My story is far from perfect, but it's a positive one and maybe one of the few examples that defies Corinne's observation that men always get more out of a relationship.
That's great.
Well, I'm guessing this is about how you became paraplegic and your boyfriend
you.
Spoon fed you applesauce. Thank you for sharing that with us.
What a nice guy.
I rarely dated in high school and college. When I was a young kid, I told my parents I would graduate first in my class from college, get a scholarship to a good college, and I guess first in my class from high school, you mean, get a good scholarship to college and become a doctor. And I've done just that.
Hell yeah.
And everyone listening is going to be like, oh my God, she manifested that for herself.
That's what I was thinking. She did.
No, she went to school for a long time and then she became a doctor.
But she did worked good really at, hard it. At it. But she had a goal to do good and she did it.
She was really, really smart and then she went to school for 7 years. And I've done just that. While all this was happening, my family was concerned, asking, are you even into guys?
What? I'm busy, Ma.
I'm doctoring. And I just told them that dating was a distraction from my goals. Guys would come and go, but they tended to be intimidated by me and truthfully just weren't on my level emotionally and intellectually.
So you got
to
move on.
Because I'm a fucking doctor.
Yeah, daddy.
Yeah,
doctor.
They're not on my level. I tell dick jokes, so I can only imagine if you were a doctor.
Yeah, that pool is way narrow.
Things changed for me in 2012. I was in grad school and wanted to actively look for a partnership. I messaged Dave on OkCupid.
Oh.
He looked like Harry Potter.
Aww.
And my nerd heart was so happy. Now we're understanding why the relationship was more equal. She goes, I messaged someone way below me and he was so happy. we messaged back and forth on AIM and had a phone. This is a millennial story. On forth on AIM and had a phone call before our first date at Panera Bread.
Wow.
Risky. And we just kept going on dates. He took me out to nice dinners, concerts, comedy shows, movies, et cetera, and he always paid for me as I was a very broke grad student. For a long time, I felt guilty about this, but turns out he was just very financially stable and providing in that way as part of his love language. I hadn't been with anyone long enough to be sexually explorative, and with him, I was really able to blossom in my sexuality.
Nice.
9 months in, we knew we wanted to be each other's long-term partner, and I knew things were serious because he asked me to help him pick out a rescue cat who he just had to put to sleep. R.I.P.
Sorry for your loss.
A few months later, he asked me to help him pick out a house. I was clear that I wanted to live together before we got engaged, and I wanted to finish grad school before we got married. Over the years, we have done a lot of traveling in the U.S. and abroad. He taught me to prioritize experiences over things.
That's good.
He bought me amazing tickets to a Beyonce concert for our one-year anniversary, Christina.
Girl, he's a keeper.
I can be impatient and quick to anger, and he knows how to make me laugh and helps me relax. And aww. I am able to light a fire under his ass when he is feeling lackadaisical. Y'all, he's cute. He cooks, he cleans, he surprises me with gifts.
Aww.
He is amenable to suggestions and change, and he supports me in the pursuit of my passions. Plus, we continue to have fun and frequent sex and are still finding new things we haven't done before. He has the most beautiful penis I've ever seen.
That's awesome.
Things have not always been sunshine and rainbows. We both have difficult mental health histories and have supported each other through dark times. We have been to therapy separately and together, and that's how we have learned how to communicate better and how to grow together and as individuals.
I want to cry. This is so beautiful.
It's so funny because I still don't like this email.
I love it. What?
I think I just don't like other people's stories.
Yeah. Like you're in the wrong.
Yeah, I just
podcast.
I just think no, I find them interesting. It's like, well, I love. I mean,
oh, you're like happy for others. You mean like that?
No, it's not about that. I feel neutral about this because it's so she titled it a good story, and I think to me, I still don't interpret this as a good story. It just seems like, yeah, you worked really hard to make a relationship work because you wanted a relationship.
That's a good story. I don't hear enough about that.
Yeah, no, I mean that too. We moved in together in 2016, got engaged in 2017, married in 2018, pregnant in 2019.
Nice.
And welcomed twins. I'm having like a visceral response to this.
That's not good.
Do you want me to keep reading?
I think I might be a medium. Pregnant in 2019 and welcomed twins via C-section in 2020. I'm happy to share details and stories about all these stages if anyone is interested, unlikely as it may be. Haha. I always knew I wanted to be a mom. And after my experience with pregnancy, birth, and parenting, I can say that it is absolutely one of the most challenging things I've experienced. And truthfully, sometimes I do wish we had decided to keep it the two of us forever.
Honesty, girl. Hopefully your kids never watch this. That's all right. You're going to learn to be honest with yourself. It's okay.
But I also can't imagine not having these two cuties in the world. My husband is an awesome co-parent, and when I hear my friends complaining about their lazy or unhelpful spouses, I can sympathize but can't relate.
Nice.
Love you both and the podcast. Oh, I literally was looking at this picture and I go, oh my God, this girl looks exactly like me.
Because it is you, girl.
But it was just a picture of me.
Yeah. that was in Boston. Was that Boston?
Oh my God, that's funny.
Love, oh yeah, in Boston.
Yeah, I'm wearing the dress that I bought for Valentine's Day dinner with James and when he spent the whole time looking at another woman in the restaurant. love you both. Shout out, baby. How are you doing? Hope your marriage is well. Love you both on the podcast. After years of listening, I realized this type of partnership is rare and it also takes a lot of work, but it is absolutely absolutely worth it. I attached pics of us, including one with you two from a Boston show after we got engaged.
Oh my God, your little twins are so cute.
They look familiar.
They do.
I remember
he looks like
photo.
I remember your husband because he looks like Bo Burnham. He looked like Bo Burnham there, and I thought that when I met him.
Yeah,
I was like, oh,
yeah,
that's sweet.
Yeah.
You guys are cute.
Yeah, I do remember.
Oh,
that.
That's so fun. I love love. Thank you for telling us about your love. You have this. You don't. You didn't. I mean, you just didn't. Nothing happened for you. You just read the words.
I think,
which is fine.
I think to me, well, number one, so when you say a good story, I'm good.
I see.
Like my expectations are fucking high when you say good story, and to me that just sounds like, oh, that was like a healthy,
a positive,
normal, regular,
a positive story.
I would read it as neutral.
Really?
To me, that's like
in this dog
the way things are supposed to happen.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, yeah. But in this dog eat dog world, I mean, you just you know, you don't get a lot of neutral these days.
I think there's a lot of neutral in places that aren't like cities. Does that seem fair?
I don't know, because when there's not cities, you're bored and on meth.
Well, it depends.
Not
I mean,
always.
I like the part where she was a doctor. All the other stuff is just like, everyone I know who's not fucking a loser did that.
Right. Yeah.
You know? No, because I think it's like, and it's also, it's just like, my goals are never going to be parallel to somebody else's. So
right.
Unless I hear a story that's like exactly what I want to do, it's not going to like excite me.
Right.
I'm 100% with you.
Oh, see, I get excited when other people are happy.
Something's...
Which is a disease, honestly. It's
I'm
exhausting.
Glad that she became a doctor, that she held out for a person who was worthy of her time. Like, I'm like, all these things to me are like, but to me, this is like, this is not like, oh, yay. This is like, yeah, you're doing exactly what I've been trying to fucking tell women to do for 10 years.
Yeah.
And then everyone's just said, you're a fat cunt. And I go, well, that's not.
That's not
exactly
what I said.
How I
that's, that wasn't
that.
The instructions, kids. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Getting stuff off your chest is incredible. It's so therapeutic. We all carry around different stressors. Some of them are big, some of them are small, a lot of them are very big. But we keep them bottled up and it could start affecting us negatively. And then we act like a jerk to the people we love. And we're like, this is not how I want to be. Therapy has saved my life personally. There are so many benefits of it. It empowers you to be the best version of yourself. And it isn't just for those who've experienced major trauma. Although if you have experienced major trauma, highly recommend. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designated to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. You just fill out a questionnaire and you get matched with a licensed therapist, and you could switch at any time. Finding a therapist is like dating. They're not all going to work out in the first try. BetterHelp understands that. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/guys to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp.com/guys. Guys, the weather's getting warmer. It's time to say goodbye to your jackets and all your sweaters, and you got to refresh your wardrobe. Well, luckily, I found Quince, and now you have too, because you're listening to this. Now I've got a lineup of timeless pieces that keep me looking effortlessly chic year after year. By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts out the cost of the middleman and passes the savings on to us. And if you go to their website, the amount of categories, they have travel, lookbooks, men, women, home, babies, and kids. Their stuff is so cute. So I own a couple items from Quince, and one of them is the Italian leather hand-woven crossbody purse in green, emerald, and I get compliments on it all the time. It's a small purse, which I really love because then I don't put as many things in it. Guys, Quince is amazing. They have very luxury items for very cheap prices. Get warm weather ready, baby, with Quince. Go to quince.com/GWF. for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/GWF to get free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/GWF.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
We are the voice of NASCAR.
The green flag is in the air, and we are underway. The Great American Race.
The Motor Racing Network. NASCAR Cup, Xfinity, and Craftsman Truck Series Racing. Live on your hometown radio station and MRN or NASCAR.com. Martinsville, Talladega, the Chicago Street Course. We have the side-by-side action and last lap passes for the win.
Photo finishes. Ryan Blaney will win.
The voice of NASCAR. The Motor Racing Network.
Thanks for emailing us. And Atlanta, Georgia, Saturday, September 10th, we're going to be at the Center Stage Theater. And you buy tickets right now, sorryaboutlastnightcomedy.com. It's in all of our social media handles at the link tree, at Guys We Fucked Without the U and Fucked across the board. I'm at Christina Hutch.
I'm at Philanthropy Gal.
Norwalk, Connecticut, September 24th. We're going to be at the Wall Street Theater. That is the one date that we're doing that's probably going to be closest to the city. So if you live near the New York, New Jersey, Connecticut area, come to this show at the Wall Street Theater. Buy your tickets now.
Yeah, and we're diving into that one. So yeah. Who knows who will stick in the car with us.
Ooh, is that a... I don't know.
I know.
A hot guy.
Does anyone know who we're gonna?
No idea. Truly,
we could though. We could.
Yeah.
And if you don't want to leave your house, I get that. You can hang out and listen to the news with me and Shane Smith on Without a Country. Comes out every Saturdays wherever you listen to pod. Every Saturdays comes out every Saturday wherever you listen to podcasts, including the full video on YouTube. Subscribe to the Without a Country YouTube channel and our Instagram. It's fun. We share a lot of info. You want to, and I know it seems a little early, but like, you do you want to start thinking about what's happening in the country for that leading up to that 2024 election? I do think it's like time now. People are fucking getting ready. We're going to start maybe having a feeling of who's running. These are important things. We don't want to get behind in 2016.
Running.
Yeah. No, I mean, it is a real solid possibility that we're going to have another Trump
Mr. DT
running. Yeah. It's real possible. So I think like we were able to not think about him for like a little bit,
so
but I think
long.
It's time to start thinking about him again.
Oh God.
Yeah.
I hate his face.
Yeah. So. Oh, well.
I have a Patreon that I run that I do at least three Zoom group therapy and quotes chat sessions per month, and they're really interesting and I love them so much. Basically, you just come and you share whatever's on your mind and I'll ask you questions and it's fun. And then I do episodes of my solo podcast, The Voices in Our Heads, exclusively for Patreon, where I talk about all the woo stuff and all the self-help stuff and the mom journey and the dad journey and all of it. And then I'm uploading this week the recording, the audio from my 2-hour group reading session with Laura Lynn Jackson. It is fucking, I listened back to it because I wanted to sit on it for like a couple weeks because I needed to take it in, but I listened back to it and woo, you feel people heal. It's wild. It's fucking wild. So patreon.com/Christina Hutchinson and rate and review Guys We Fucked on Apple Podcasts and follow Guys We Fucked on the Apple Podcast app if you haven't yet. That keeps us in the top 200s of the comedy charts, which allows more people to discover us. Spread the word about the podcast. You know, put it up, throw it up on Instagram. Like, this is a podcast I like. These two gals know what the fuck they're doing. And that's it.
Yes, thank you very much. How are you doing?
Oh, thanks for asking. I'm okay. I'm doing great. I'm keeping up with my nutrition. I'm meditating. I cry a lot, but like, that's so normal to me. That's not like, but I haven't been like had the sads in a while, which is really nice.
Yeah, I was like, you always cry. I sometimes cry.
Yeah, I moved to tears multiple times a week.
That's
like in a
hilarious.
Happy way.
That's that's a good thing. That's like a good like blip for you.
Yeah,
that's a good name for like a book too.
Move
like,
to tears.
Yeah, move to tears. That's an autobiography title.
Well, I really am. And then I didn't realize this, but the pattern said this about me. And then I always was like, huh? And then somebody mentioned it, and I've seen it in like random internet comments. Some people, not a lot, so it's not like a misinterpretation that I get often, but like some people think I fake my enthusiasm, and I read that on the pattern. They're like, people may think that you're putting on a show or an act, and I was like, what? That's weird. And then someone said something to me in passing where I'm like, that's exactly what the pattern said. I didn't realize people would get that read on me, but
I think also sometimes people think really happy adults sometimes, especially I think after sharing maybe like the sadder part of your life story, people think it like, you know, a lot of people are really enthusiastic to kind of almost amp themselves up.
Which I was for a while.
Yeah. And I think so maybe it could be that, not necessarily like that you're like being fake.
Right, right, right. It's like, I have to see the happy because if I see the sad, I'll crumble and die.
I also just think in general, though, many people are so miserable that they
I guess
think
so.
That
there's like, then ain't no way that girl's that happy.
Right. A happy adult is just like,
smoke weed.
You're a fraud in some way that like you can't be happy that you're not happy. That it's like, because they're like, how is this person so happy?
Right. I'm not right. Happy. They do that with Corinne and her confidence.
Yeah. Right. Well, but exactly. I think, same sort of thing.
But what I'm saying is that then I think then when Christina had like a bout of depression, they were like, yeah, that's what you're really like. Yeah. You know? Yeah.
It's so mean.
See, I'm
but
right.
I get it.
See?
Yeah. Everyone projects, which I understand. I thought that was interesting. I was reading, this was a couple weeks ago, but I remembered it this morning. Every once in a while, I get a lot of book recommendations, and sometimes I'll check them out. It just kind of depends what I'm doing that moment that I read the DM. If I read the DM, you know, somebody, I think I might have been talking to a comedian who told me about this book, possibly, called Becoming the One. And I was like, oh, that's interesting. And so I read it. Oh my God, the audiobook, the girl's voice is so soothing. It's incredible. But one of the things she said
Wait, what is Becoming the One about? Here, let me read
I'm familiar with calling in the one, but I don't
know. You're being like, being there for yourself before you can be in a partnership. So
like becoming the one for yourself.
Okay.
I need to not read that book. I need to unread that book.
Yeah. Heal your past, transform your relationship patterns, and come home to yourself. Okay. By Shalina. I'm going to spell it because I don't know how to pronounce it. So I want to make sure. S-H-E-L-E-A-N-A. And then the last name is A-I-Y-A-N-A, founder of Rising Woman.
Okay.
There's this one thing that I heard in the audiobook that's like, just because you're attracted to somebody doesn't mean you have to act on it. And I was like, oh, yeah, I guess so. Because when you're not really-
Like every married guy I've ever run across.
Right, but like, I think because the reason why I'm like, wait, yeah, you do, is because it's so rare that I'm like, who are you? But she explains, like, you can be very strongly sexually attracted to somebody because you're trying to work out a toxic parent thing. And I'm like, oh, yeah, definitely been there. Definitely been there. But that can fuel a sexual attraction, which to me, I'm like, yeah, I guess logically I understand that. But when I'm in the moment and I feel the pull towards somebody, that then again, it doesn't happen that often, I follow it. Because your girl loves fun, and there's nothing more fun than trying to get a crush to make out with you. And man, oh man, it stopped me in my tracks, and then I laughed at myself. So I'm like, yeah, you really don't, just because you're, the reason why that line also took me by surprise is because the second I feel the feelings of like, ooh, ba-bum, like this guy, I want to know more about him, I just go. I dart towards him. And you don't have to always do that, turns out. You can like sit back and go, why am I attracted to this person? Is it healthy? Is it a good idea? You know?
Well, it's often funny because like for this show, obviously, you know, it's kind of known that we pursue partners based on, you know, our parents or things in our childhood.
Mm-hmm.
And then I go to myself, why do I always like drug addicts?
Right.
My parents maybe aren't drug addicts. And then I was like, I think I was talking to my friend, and I think some of it, and I was trying to work this out in like in jokes on stage, but like, and I have a little bit, I think some of it is like what we've talked about. I have no idea how to like read people who are bad if they say they're good, because I was around so many good people growing up.
Who told the truth?
So if people act like they're good and tell me things, why would I not believe them? Because I wasn't lied to as a child.
Right.
Yeah, that's it.
That's exactly
it. And then it turns out those are the worst people.
Who lie about being good?
Yeah.
But do you think though, sometimes when people, because I lie about being good, and I wasn't trying to deceive anybody. I just really like didn't want to face. I thought that if I allowed myself, like I think subconsciously, to realize I wasn't doing good, I thought I was gonna like die or fall apart, which is obviously not true. But
you're not a bad person.
You're not
person.
A bad person. Like damaged and bad are different things.
That's true.
You don't like actively
right
because
I've dated people
you know?
Who
I'm not
are like pure as, evil.
Right. That's I would
just
agree.
One though, right?
At least one that we know of.
Do you think more than one pure evil?
Wow. Pure evil. I've probably had sex with people who are pure. Oh,
I had
actually,
one. I had one.
Yes,
my
yes.
first boyfriend.
I've had sex with two of the most evil people I know.
Whoa, that's a clip.
Oh, well, you know. So I think it's because I like hard workers and people who have independent personalities.
And which so, evil people tend to have.
Both of those evil people reminded me a lot of myself, but it's like, you can, it's like Robert Frost. You can,
it's the diverging.
Yeah,
roads.
The two roads diverged in the woods. And I went.
Wait, what does that mean? What do you mean by that?
So, like, it's a poem. It's like, it's
called. Right, I know the poem.
The path. So it's like, okay, so we're, you know, we both come into this realm on the same path, but then when the roads diverge, I went down the path of like ethics and they went down the path of leaving destruction in their wake.
Right. Which is unfortunately a popular path these days. Got it. Yeah.
Well, and I, you know, there's something about it because it's just like, well, most people just go down like the other path, which is like being average. And
yeah,
I think even like when faced with this, I'd probably still pick the evil person over the average person because
I probably would too.
I don't want to be bored.
Me either. I hate being bored.
But it was, I think I had a unique experience in that I had parents who were good people, but they aren't boring.
Right. That honestly is a unique experience.
They're not boring at all.
I was talking to somebody.
For sure.
Yeah. I was talking to somebody who had parents who were like intellectuals. Like one was a professor and one, and I'm like, your parents like bestowed their knowledge of literature and poets onto you? Like, I couldn't imagine that. What? My dad reads books by Rush Limbaugh.
Yeah, my mom will talk about like literary theory and stuff and foreshadowing in regular life. But like, yeah. I don't. Yeah, my parents are interesting and
also have a
really fucked up sense of humor, but they also themselves are not fucked up. I mean, of course, like everyone has like little like everyday kinds of things, but I'm talking about like not heavy,
yeah,
burden-y things.
Right. Yeah, that'll do it. Again, your good childhood's cursing you in your adulthood.
Ugh,
sucks how that happens.
It's just weird. I don't need to, I'm not trying to like flip it so like I'm the victim now. I'm not at all. No, I'm not interested in that. It's just.
No, Corinne, I'm the victim.
Yeah, it's just like a constant, like I'm just really trying to logically figure it out.
Yeah. That's all. Well, and how are you? Do you have anything else you want
to? No, just thanks so much to everyone who came out in Cleveland. Yeah. I don't know if ever in my career have I gone on stage with really, you know, very minimal material. I mean, obviously I've been working on stuff in New York, so like it's all new, and then working out the rest and like just doing a full hour of new stuff. And I feel like this is like the first time in my career where I'm really like, it's not 50 minutes, it's not 45 minutes, it's a full fucking hour of new jokes and new material and stuff. And that is a lot of work, and it's also
a lot of tinkering,
anxiety inducing. And so I appreciate how patient and open to things both Pittsburgh and Cleveland were. I know Cleveland, you were on a 5-year drunk driving probation. You guys are back.
Cleveland.
You won me back.
You did it.
Amazing. I told some fucked up jokes this weekend.
Nice.
Too.
Ohio, I feel like.
Yeah. And then anytime they groaned, I go, if there's a state that invented calling other people a pussy, it's Ohio.
Yes.
So
correct.
Don't you dare. And then it was funny because any audience that had a lot of people that were like walk-in men, not people who bought tickets to see me, I had these long conversations with the audience about what the fuck is wrong with men from Ohio. And I said, I do consider myself to be an expert in this area. I've had two serious boyfriends from Ohio, both, Chad, I'm not diagnosing, but an unofficial assessment would say mentally ill beyond belief.
There is no hope for you or your future.
Damaged in a way that I need to hear the origin story of this X-Man. Bad.
Yeah.
And I tried to ask the men of, like, all the women of Ohio knew what I was talking about.
It's nice to have a solidarity.
And then obviously all the men in Ohio were like,
What do you mean? We're great.
Yeah.
Really? Seriously? Because sometimes shitty guys know they're shitty.
No, there was a silence that said, I should have brought that gun to this show.
I see.
And it was palpable. Mike loves
when a man wants to pull the trigger and he can't.
Yeah. You just hear Mike. You just hear in people's minds like, click, click. And I said,
you're gonna be such a great television character. Oh man, I can't wait.
But I said, well, I actually was working on a joke about that where I was like, yeah, you know, Christine and I are working on a television show and
no one applauded.
Well, Fox, no, they did. They applauded. Good. And like Fox knows the show is about me and Christina, who they're also having the meetings with. And like,
yeah, yeah, they talked to us.
I got notes back on the character of Corinne and it was just like, she's an intolerable cold-hearted bitch.
Yeah.
And I go, guys, you know, like, we all know this is about me.
It's a
character
comedy.
Even has my name.
Uh-huh. And it's played by you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thinly veiled. So yeah. Just feels like in
not even gotta lean in strongly to any one particular trait, just like exist.
Yeah. They just go, you know, they were like unlikable, overbearing. Oh God. We had a fun time.
Yeah, it was good.
Mm.
You know who's fun?
Our guest.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm so excited for you guys to hear that she's an LA-based stand-up comedian who could be seen in the Jackass Forever movie, the first female cast member of the Jackass franchise. Very fucking cool. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome to the show, Rachel Wolfson.
Ecstatic, make it feel like fixed on it. Melodic, like how I do what I do. Acting like you didn't feel your soul glitch when I walked in. So sweet,
so bad.
Hold me
with your hands,
both feet
on the ground.
It's psycho.
Play nice if you play nice. Don't count on me otherwise. How much longer till you close? Just a couple miles.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
We are the voice of NASCAR.
The green flag is in the air, and we are underway. The Great American Race.
The Motor Racing Network. NASCAR Cup, Xfinity, and Craftsman Truck Series Racing. Live on your hometown radio station and MRN or NASCAR.com. Martinsville, Talladega, the Chicago Street Course. We have the side-by-side action and last lap passes for the win.
Photo finishes. Ryan Blaney will win.
The voice of NASCAR. The Motor Racing Network. Work.
Xumo Play is your destination for endless entertainment. With a diverse lineup of 350-plus live channels, movies, and full TV series, you'll easily find something to watch right away. And the best part? It's all free. Love music? Get lost in the 90s with iHeart 90s, dance away with hip-hop beats, and more on the iHeart Radio music channels. No logins, no signups, no accounts, no hassle. So what are you waiting for? Start streaming at play.xumo.com or download from the app and Google Play stores today. All you can stream with Xumo Play.
Finding the right news podcast can feel like dating. It seems promising until you start listening.
When you hit play on Post Reports, you'll get fascinating conversations and sometimes a little fun too. I'm Martine Powers.
And I'm Elahe Azadi. Martine and I are the hosts of Post Reports. The show comes out every weekday from The Washington Post.
You can follow and listen to Post Reports wherever you get your podcasts. It'll be a match, I promise.
We're still here. Rachel Wolfson's also here.
Yeah.
Here. My microphone levels went away, but you know what?
Are we good?
We're great.
Great.
Mike's on the verge of a nervous breakdown, yeah. So I think we just have to record. And even if this is just like an
the
hour,
last time we see Mike.
Yeah. Even if we just like dick around for an hour and then tell and Mike then, that it's fine.
Yeah.
We just get to know each
Poor
other.
Poor Mike is going to have such a great time with his therapist this yeah. week. Like, yeah. What a
Y'all
session.
Have a lot to talk about.
So much.
That therapist will get his $120 worth 100%.
Yes.
How are you?
I'm great. I'm glistening. I'm glowing.
Yeah, you're glowing. It might be because our podcast studio is a sauna, but also New York City is a sauna at the moment, which is fun. I love wearing a dress with no underwear and natural deodorant. Just all the smells.
Just let it hang out.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You were part of the Jackass crew.
I was.
And you still are, right?
Yeah.
Is that fair to say?
Yeah.
Like once you're like in it, are you in it for life?
It's like a family, you know, or a gang. I mean, not, I would say a gang.
Gang.
It's or like a mafia, I guess.
That's okay. Really cool. That sounds fun. Very Jersey.
Yeah, very Jersey.
So what's the story? How did you get involved with Jackass? Were you like just doing like pranks on the street and they pulled you up? Or obviously you're a comedian.
Yes.
So.
No, I wasn't doing any of the prank stuff, although like I love pranks. I fell in love with
pranks.
Pranking. And, you know, I was also a Jackass fan growing up.
Mm-hmm.
I think I was like 15 when it came out. So for me, I started in stand-up in 2016, and I think I did a show at the Laugh Factory probably around like 2017, 2018. I had a good clip. One of my jokes, my OJ joke, got a bunch of views. I got, you know, tons of followers. A lot of the bigger comedians started following me, showing me love, and it was around that time I noticed that Knoxville was one of the bigger people who started following me.
Ooh,
and
nice.
Liking you know, the content I was putting up, which were jokes, and, you know, I put up clips, and a lot of my one-liners are very much Jackass humor, cum jokes, butt stuff, you
yeah.
know, the good, all the good
the classics.
Stuff, you know, the ones and twos. And so he slid into my DMs one day and the message was like, hey, what's your number? I want to call you and ask you about something to see if you're interested in it.
And that's a good DM. Did you think he was trying to fuck you?
No, because
were you
the
hoping
message,
he's trying to fuck you?
No, because you want to know why the message was like at a 3 p.m.
Okay, yeah,
that's not a fuck time,
and that's technical.
That's
too.
Like a night. That's like a work time.
It was a professional time.
Yeah,
good
yeah.
on you, Johnny Knoxville.
It's all about the timing.
Yeah,
you know?
I love a story of a man contacting a woman, and it's not for the interests of his dick.
It's true. Yeah. So I gave him my number, and he calls me, and he was like, "Hey, do you want to come in for a meeting with me and Jeff Tremaine, because we're working on the 20th anniversary of Jackass, like a anniversary special." That's how he told me. And I was like, yes, I was hoping it was Jackass, whatever he was saying. But he just made it seem like it was just some kind of special. And so I went in for the meeting like a week later, and it was like a 5-minute meeting. Like it took longer to get there than the
yeah.
And we're also, the three of us, we're bad at meetings. We all have ADHD. We're just
perfect.
Like, they just like laid it out. They're like, hey, we're shooting Jackass 4, the movie. Would you want to come play with us, kind of thing? Like, that's how they laid it out.
What an invite.
And
wow.
I was like, I still to this day, I'm like, did that really happen?
Yeah, that's like an amazing Hollywood story.
It is.
Yeah.
It's like a modern day. And then, so that was, this was like spring of 2019,
mm-hmm.
and they made it seem like, okay, we'd start shooting possibly that summer, like, and then fall, like October. So for me, I was like, okay, well, I didn't know what they wanted me for,
right? Because Jackass involves like stapling cable bills to your tits, mm-hmm. like there's a lot of violent...
yeah, like swallowing goldfish, you know,
yeah.
all of these things that I'm willing to do.
Yeah. You were willing to see a cable
like,
build your tit?
I was just hoping like maybe it wouldn't be that specific stunt per se.
Right.
But, you know, so I'm a writer in a sense of like I enjoy writing. It's what I'm good at. You know, it's what I've been, you know, practicing, I think, the longest. Performance is something that's second. It comes second, and it's something I really want to get good at. So I was just like, let me come. I would love to come contribute to the writer's room. You know, I don't know, whatever. And like, yeah, yeah, yeah.
No, you know, you're actually, we like want you to star in the
yeah.
movie.
and so it kept getting pushed back. I ended up coming to New York. I ended up starting to date Matt.
Mm-hmm.
So this is all happening.
The guy who dropped you off.
The guy who dropped me off.
Yeah, he walked in. I'm like, who the fuck is this guy?
It's my insecurity. See how skinny? No, I'm just kidding. He's great. No, that's my boyfriend. Sweet. He's amazing.
Love a boyfriend with Alanis Morissette t-shirt.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we stan. And and so this was in 2019. At this point, I'm going through a breakup. You know,
that's got to help the breakup.
Oh man, when I got that DM, I was like,
"Wow, to break up who? I don't even care anymore."
I remember when I got the DM too, because I was bumming about this relationship, and I'm laying face down in my bed. It's like sunny as hell out, you know, just LA, and I'm just like, "What am I doing? I'm, you know, 30 something years old. I'm in stand up. I'm just like, you know, your typical thoughts that we all go through at certain points,
reassessing,
and, you know, And so when that happened, like I had so many things happening all at once. And Matt, from the beginning, my boyfriend has been very supportive, because when we started dating, I opened up to him that I'm having these conversations with like Johnny Knoxville to work. And I'm like, how do you feel about that? And again, also, I didn't have any, like my mom and him were just like, oh, I hope they don't want to see your butthole. You know,
I was going to say, why did you ask him how he felt about it?
No, it wasn't like I asked him. It's more like. I wondered how he would handle it, because either way, this is what I'm doing.
Yeah,
you either are supporting me, because I've had boyfriends in the past who haven't supported.
I see. Okay, so you wanted to make sure that didn't happen again,
right? And so yeah, he was completely supportive of the whole thing, and so when I went in, you know, I went in for that meeting, and then first day on set, there was a test shoot in December, because it ended up getting really, really pushed back. So December of 2019 is the first day.
Oh my God, it's right before the pandemic.
Yes. So I shot 2 days, and then it shut down in March. But on the first day, by the way, this is my first day on set. I'm so into, you know, I'm so like overstimulated. It's not even just I'm just like, it's so surreal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you had never been in a movie before?
No. This is my first
So it's your first movie.
Major
it's
motion
a huge,
picture. I'm working with Spike Jonze in my first movie.
Yeah. Like, that's pretty incredible.
Where do you go from?
Yeah.
You can't go back from that.
Yeah.
And you know, I just remember thinking like, oh, I just hope I am what they want.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because this is who I am, just. This is who I am.
Yeah, obviously they kind of knew, like I think just like based on the 5-minute meeting, they had been tracking you for a long time.
Oh, and just know, like people watch us comedians, you know, I'm sure you guys have a lot of young comedians who listen, and just anyone who's, you know, aspiring for anything. If you're putting yourself out there, there are people who are watching you, and they watch you for years. They watch you because ultimately our success is in our – it's not – I mean, it sounds creepy.
They stop the shit at you.
But this is the new gen. This is the new wave. Mm-hmm. This is how it happens. It's not happening necessarily at the comedy club. You're waiting for an agent to walk in and see you. The agents are at home scrolling Instagram to find the next funny comedian.
Mm-hmm.
Or Johnny Knoxville is looking for someone to put in his movie. I mean, this is how it happens. So – you know, I never started stand-up to be in a movie. I started stand-up because I fell in love with the craft, and I just really wanted to get good at something, because I never really felt like I was good at anything.
Yeah.
So
nothing?
I was good at making people laugh.
Yeah, there you go.
But as a woman, that never seemed like a strength for me, because we're taught to like sit
Shut
there
the
and
up.
Look pretty.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And in LA, I feel like, yeah, it's a lot of... It's a different animal almost in LA.
Also, you know, I book a movie. I'm in my 30s. Mm-hmm. And I remember I was trying to get a manager. And this manager was like, so what else have you done? And he was like,
with that attitude?
Well, he goes,
he
well,
he
asked me.
He asked
no,
it.
He asked me how old I was, and then asked me what else
I've
done.
I believe it's a, yeah,
that's
it's illegal.
Yeah.
They can't ask you how old you are. I don't
think.
Right? A manager can't ask you how old you
are? I don't know the difference between like law and like entertainment law sometimes, because they're blurred, but like that's definitely not an appropriate question.
We just make
many
fucking
of all inappropriate questions. I'm glad you just asked me my age.
Well, and the thing is, a lot of times when you sign with an agent or a manager anyway, you have to give your ID. So even if you even if they're not allowed to ask the question, they're going to be able to find out.
And
the
I get what
anyway.
He was getting at, but I was like, listen, dude, that's an old trope. You're not the one you're not my manager.
Yeah.
You know, you don't see me, whatever.
Also, in stand up, you don't fucking age out of stand up.
Right. But again, you know, when you're trying, and it's not like I'm,
Louis C.K. didn't get good at stand-up until, like, very recently.
There's so many comedians that
Kathy Griffin
didn't even start
also, yeah.
until their 40s. And, yeah. and there's just this, you know, but we are taught, you know, for so long that you have to be this age. It's so hard to do that. You know, it's just.
A lot of shit gets drilled into your head. And that's yeah. why I think, like, did you grow up in L.A.?
I'm from Vegas.
Oh,
born
oh,
and
wow.
raised. Yeah.
Born and raised in Vegas. How was that?
Wild.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just. To think that you raised children in that city.
I know. I didn't want to be the one to say it, but thank God you did.
You know, yeah.
It's you come been, out unscathed? How do you?
No,
I mean
I'm mentally
possible.
Unwell. Yeah. like, I think,
yeah.
I mean, in, you know.
We're all mentally unwell from something.
Right.
I imagine growing up in Vegas has got to contribute.
Yeah. I mean, it's environment and biological for sure. for me at least. And yeah, I mean, I think everything in my life has led me up to everything in my life. You know, everything starts to make more sense as I get older,
yeah,
you know,
and
as much as things get more confusing. But as time, you know, unfolds, I feel like I understand certain things more. So
yeah, which is nice. That's why I like it. That's like a part I love about getting older.
Mm-hmm.
It's like stuff doesn't feel as scary and unfamiliar because you're
right.
like, oh, okay, I kind of understand the rhythm
right.
of this shit.
And like, here's why I went through that or that happened.
Yeah, se. Yeah, yeah. You get to see that. Hindsight's very valuable.
Mm-hmm.
What kind of stunts did you do for the Jackass? Like anything physically detrimental?
I mean, the stunts that I did were like I licked tasers. So my role was – initially they wanted me to be like roasting the guys, which to me is it's not that I'm not a roaster. I mean, I'm a comedian. I can roast someone. But to come in and to this family day one
yeah. and just
start
make fun
roasting
of all.
These men.
That's intimidating.
I did actually have a joke on the first day on set. It's in 4.5. It's in the Preston Lacey and Zach are running and jumping across the guys, and me and Pontius are playing referees.
Mm-hmm.
And they asked me who I thought the winner was, and I said, "Well, I think the real winner is diabetes." And and Spike, they all started dying laughing, and I think that's what Steve-O said. That moment is what like secured,
yeah,
you know, because
your confidence.
I had the peanut gallery. I was down. Anything they asked me to do, I would like. I came from a place of yes. Like, I trust these guys comedically. They're geniuses. They know what's funny. They're not going to ask me to get naked. I know that. They're not going to ask me to do anything sexual because we're not at a
you.
Place in a society where we're ready to laugh at women that way, personally. Like, I just think that for me to get naked and to do stuff like that, I've
yeah,
never gotten
women's
naked.
Nudity is totally
I've never
different.
Gotten naked in my life. And no one has been like, ha ha, you know?
Well, there's right. something you're onto something because there's something about a hot woman getting naked that's never going to be funny.
Never.
The way society sexualizes women.
Yeah.
Is,
they sexualize me without getting
get
naked.
Yeah.
Do you know how many men have DM'd me when they're like, I have that picture of you licking the taser is my home screen. And I'm like,
oh,
I
great.
Spit.
Thanks for letting
and
me know.
Yeah. And ha-ha. It's like, so I did the taser, you know, I did peanut gallery. I let a scorpion bite me and multiple scorpions.
Yeah.
Multiple
you
tasers.
On the lip, right?
yeah, scorpion Botox.
What did that? Oh, did that hurt?
That was a fun one.
It did not feel good.
Wow.
Yeah, no, it was
There's
not.
Something fun about enduring physical pain that I, for mm-hmm. some reason, I feel like I would be so good at Jackass because I really,
yeah.
I enjoy physical pain.
For me, it's like yesterday, a friend of mine asked me, would I rather go through emotional pain or physical pain? And for me, I said, physical pain.
Oh yeah.
Because, you know, you don't necessarily know where the emotional pain is coming from. With the physical pain, you're like, oh, I can take this medicine and, you know, or whatever.
Yeah.
As women, we have such a high pain tolerance.
Yeah.
We hide our pain. There's so much pain that we don't show, our period pain, our menstrual
uh-huh.
pain. You know, all of that has taught me to, you know, kind of just put a strong face forward. And that's I got a lot of feedback from my stunts that I barely flinched.
Yeah.
It's like, in my mind, I'm spinning.
Yeah.
Like, I'm
I was
talking
screaming
myself,
in my head.
I'm going through so much, but I have learned, you know, you're at work and your cramps are going to make you pass out, but you can't go home because you'll get fired
mm-hmm.
and you have bills to pay and
yeah.
you know, your parents aren't going to send you any more money for the month. Like
right.
you have to fight.
Sorry guys, Rachel got her period.
Yeah.
We can't film. You
no,
can't fucking, but, that'll, one day it would be nice to be in a world where like we can at least like talk about it mm-hmm. or like have, I don't know, something.
I get really bad ones. Like I get debilitating. I had to go back on birth control because of it. Mm-hmm. Like I probably, you know, will be on birth control for as long as possible. And even the first day on set, I had my period. I'm the obviously the only one, but
yeah.
So yeah, I mean, that was something that as a woman, I also enjoy physical pain for sure.
Yeah, it's weird. It's something because you're like, I can mind over matter. Like if you can overcome it, and there's something, I don't know, something cathartic about it.
I mean, maybe it's not the, I also, the yeah, there's something also, there's the rush as a comedian, as you know, I have ADHD and depression and all kinds of, you know, there's a distraction from what's going on up here when you, it's almost like a release in a sense. And yeah, so I found out that I do enjoy that, and that there's a line, like there's funny, women can get hurt, we can be funny, we can do stunts. There's a line, that's a societal thing. I'm not here to necessarily change anything in terms of like female nudity, but I am here to
I think just being in the film, I was definitely groundbreaking, and I made me more excited to see the film.
Yeah,
that a woman was in it. Mm-hmm. I was like, why the fuck not?
Yeah, you know? I saw a movie with my girl. We saw one of the Jackass movies like 6 years ago with my girlfriends, and we did a stunt. I was like, my name's Christina Hutchinson, and this is Mammogram Slammogram, and my friend just punched me in the tit, and
it hurt
so bad. Well, we caught it on camera, and then I fell into a bag of trash. It was fucking awesome.
Did you bruise?
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
Pictures. You should post it.
Not of the bruise. God, it was so long ago. Like the quality of the video is so grainy. But I realized when we were filming that, I'm like, you never see women get hurt for fun.
They don't enjoy still watching me get hurt. There were certain things that they were like, don't volunteer for this. There was one thing.
Which what is an example of what they didn't want you to do?
They didn't want me to volunteer for, I think it was the one where they didn't want me to lie down in like the ramp where Zach
goes over you
that they're like just certain things, like Jeff would be like, don't volunteer for this one, you're doing this or whatever. Like there's a thing I do in the end of 4.5 in the credits, it's called Face Your Fears. It's where Ryan Dunn did it, or they've done, you know, they like to pay homage to, you know, stunts that have been done from the OGs, and it's you're on your knees and you fall face forward, and if you put your chin up to the sky, you're just supposed to roll, right?
Oh,
and okay. So you know, naturally Zach does it perfectly, and like a couple of the other guys go and they nail it, and I'm like, I'm gonna do it, because what's the worst gonna happen? I'll hit my chin, you know, or whatever. I did it.
Well, you have tits.
But that's the thing, is like, if you're gonna do it right, you're supposed to like roll. So I wasn't necessarily worried about that, but I was worried about my chin, and I definitely hit my chin.
Damn.
Like you see it goes, but they all did it perfectly. So me getting, that's what saves the bit, is like that.
Somebody's got to fuck it up.
Yeah. So,
so nice. You were there to fuck it up.
I mean, but that's what they want to see. Yeah. They want to see you get hurt, and they keep track. The fans are like, you only do this amount of stunts, or it wasn't, you know, like, you know, the fans, they want to see you get hurt, because there is something funny in getting hurt. But to have a woman in it, it's like, where's the line?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's what I guess I am like, OK, let's find the line.
Yeah. What kind of insurance is going on the set of Jackass?
I mean, I don't know. I mean, good insurance.
Is your face insured?
I mean,
I'm
like,
a good face.
That's the thing. That's so funny you say that, because I do a lot of stuff with my face. But Jeff, the director, he wanted me to do the snake bit.
Where a snake bites your face?
Mm-hmm. And I was down.
Okay.
But instead they had me do the taser bit and had poopies. Because they don't want to permanently fuck up my face. I also, you know, like I'm a stand-up comedian.
Was the snake poisonous?
It wasn't like, I don't think it would like kill him.
Okay.
Like I think it like has venom, but it may not be lethal.
Okay.
I have a stand-up background. Like, I'm not a stunt background. I'm not one of these guys where I'm out here with like fake like gold teeth
because
of all the, so you know, that's where they went with that.
Nice That's fun.
Yeah.
What's the most injured you've gotten
on Jackass?
Or in life. I mean
I definitely
assume on Jackass is the most injured, but
no, I've broken bones. I mean, I was a basketball player, so I've several years. I broke my ankle, my wrist. But the most painful thing on Jackass was definitely the scorpion Botox. And the scorpion they used, the scorpion they show is not the one that actually was the most painful. They used three different types of scorpions, but the one that they show you is the best shot.
So, and are they pinching you or are they stinging you with the tail?
They're pinching me and also stinging me with the stinger.
Wow. Mm-hmm. And that's not lethal. Obviously, it's not lethal.
It's not lethal, but it's...
Did your lips get bigger?
My lips, yeah. They got bigger, but they didn't get as... they want cartoon.
Yeah.
I got bit by so many... three different kinds of scorpions, three different kinds of venom, and they weren't... it wasn't... but you could see the venom pulsating in my lip.
Whoa.
Yeah, so that was cool.
That's pretty cool. Is there like a ton of medics standing by?
They have a medic. And he offered me Benadryl, and I was like, nah, let's see how big they get.
Yeah. Mm. Okay. Maybe it's a new beauty treatment.
Yeah. Jeez. Like, let's take these out for a whirl.
Nice. Okay. All right. All right. So then let's get into your relationships a little bit more. Yeah. So you grew up in Vegas, mm-hmm. but you said your parents aren't performers. You said they're politicians.
Yeah. They,
so why Vegas?
Which is a performer, kind mm-hmm. of.
Yeah. True. Yeah, they, what was the question?
Like, why were you, like, it is a weird place to choose to live, especially mm-hmm. to raise a family. So
my mom is from New York. My dad's from L.A. They both ended up taking jobs in law my mom took a job in radio and ended up becoming a TV news reporter in Las Vegas.
Okay.
My dad was a prosecutor, a young prosecutor in the prosecutor's office, and he would walk by my mom in the hallway at the court, and he said that he would see her on TV, and he's like, I'm going to marry that woman.
Mm-hmm. Aww, yeah. I love when that happens.
Yeah, but, you know.
And it did.
It did.
Are they still together?
They are still together.
Oh, that's fun. I love stories like that, because then I just think of how many times someone said, I'm going to marry that woman, and they didn't get married.
Didn't even talk to her.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. It really happened.
He's a go-getter.
Mm-hmm. And so my mom ended up, but she ended up going away to law school, and I think they did the long distance thing, and then she came back, and they ended up eventually opening up a law firm together. So I find it interesting. We look at the patterns of our relationships, and it's like, here I am dating a comedian. Basically, we're in business together. We're co-headlining, nice. You know, we're doing shows together. It's like, I'm kind of doing the same
thing. Yeah, you're emulating. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, in a weird way. So yeah, they really built something together.
Yeah, wow. Were they a good model for a relationship, like romantically? Or
no. Okay. For career, yes. For
Do
romantic,
they not get along?
They get along great. It's more just like they're not very affectionate or emotion-based people. As they've gotten older, they are much better. But growing up, you know, I just didn't see – they just weren't huggers. They weren't kissers. So I think for me, I saw them in like, it was like very business. Don't know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like their marriage was a business, more of a business.
In terms of career, I mean, yeah, they've been great examples. Like my mom made sure I started working when I was 15, and I was working in restaurants, and I work in hospitality pretty much my whole life.
Nice.
I went to college, you know, I'm lucky that, you know, my parents supported me with that. You know, I just...
Was there a moment where you noticed that your parents weren't huggy and kissy? Because, like, you kind of don't realize when you grow up, like, this is how everybody's parents are, right? Mm-hmm. Like, you just kind of assume that, I think, unless something's really awry. But, something like that could go under the radar, possibly.
I was just a big TV kid. So, you know, TV's, like, romance is so played up and like, how things should be. And also, you know, like, you see how your friends' parents are and, you know, and just you learn from seeing how other people... do things. And I think that you know, they love each other, but they're very specific type of people. You know, I don't know, but you know, as they got older, they're so much more softer now. I think that it's easier for them to show more emotion just based off where they are in their life.
Yeah, for sure. So I feel like the older you get, the more you realize, like, oh, love is really important.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and also men get more estrogen, so it's just biology breaking them down slowly.
I think my dad is, like, filling up with estrogen, just buckets
of it. Yeah, that's what older guys, like, sometimes they can be more, like, personal and emotional.
He'll just call me and be like, I just called to talk. And I'm like, aww, you never did that before. But I'm like, I'm so, yeah. I love it because,
that's nice, yeah.
You know, it's a nice new stage of our relationship that I at one point never thought would ever happen.
Oh, so, that's nice. That's lovely.
Yeah.
So do you feel like you didn't have, like, because your parents weren't very emotional with each other, that they weren't very emotional with you? And I don't know if you had any siblings or.
I have a younger sister. I had a lot of emotional problems as a kid. I was diagnosed bipolar when I was 12. Mm-hmm. I was put on Ritalin when I was 5 for ADHD.
Oh, wow. Oh, damn.
So I'm very much part of the medication generation. And, you know, and that suppresses emotion because as a kid, being raised by two parents who don't show a lot of emotion, especially with the jobs that they have. My dad and mom were both criminal defense attorneys. That's a law firm they opened up together. And my mom was, you know, at a time when not a lot of women were becoming criminal defense attorneys.
Sure.
And so she is taught to, like, you know, be as almost more man than manly.
Toughen up.
Masculine,
yeah. Mm-hmm.
And less emotional. And so, you know, I was a very emotional kid. I just did not know where to put the emotion. And
they didn't guide you with that because they
they were lost. I was the firstborn. They never dealt with anything like that. And I think that they tried to do the best they could, but that affected them in different ways. I think it probably affected their relationship. Mm. You know, it was very difficult because, I had a rough time emotionally as a kid.
Yeah. Yeah. So. And how did you start to, like, work through that as you got older?
Well, I mean, I was in therapy as a kid. You know, I was dark. Like, I was a 7-year-old. I wrote a suicide note at 7. Like, why is it that at 7 that I don't want to live? Like, what is that, you know?
And how did the people in your life respond to a 7-year-old writing a suicide note?
My mom took me to therapy. At this point, I had been on Adderall for 2 years. That might have contributed.
Oh,
Ritalin,
that young.
You know?
That's a lot of medication in your system.
And, like, again, like, I'm going to school, and as girls, it's less rare, I think, for it to be diagnosed younger. It's more of boys get diagnosed with ADHD younger. Yep. And I'm seeing a lot of women.
ADHD and autism,
as an
women
adult,
get diagnosed way late.
I was diagnosed with autism too. And I've had second and third opinions. And some say yes, some say no. I don't know. It's a spectrum.
Yeah.
Who knows what I am? I just know that I am part of, you know, a group of people. And I think we all of us have mental health. At some point, you're going to need help.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
If you don't need mental health help, then I don't think you're human. We're not equipped with everything that happens in our modern world, especially with, you know.
And when you're an emotional child who has parents that either don't have time for you, don't know what to do with that, that's a form of abandonment that, like, you know, you have to work past. But, like, that's real. That's fucking real shit.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
We are the voice of NASCAR.
The green flag is in the air, and we are underway the great American race.
The Motor Racing Network. NASCAR Cup, Xfinity, and Craftsman Truck Series Racing. Live on your hometown radio station and MRN or NASCAR.com. Martinsville, Talladega, the Chicago Street Course. We have the side-by-side action and last lap passes for the win.
Photo finishes, Ryan Blaney will win.
The voice of NASCAR, the Motor Racing Network.
Xumo Play is your destination for endless entertainment. With a diverse lineup of 350-plus live channels, movies, and full TV series, you'll easily find something to watch right away. And the best part? It's all free. Love music? Get lost in the 90s with iHeart 90s, dance away with hip-hop beats, and more on the iHeart Radio music channels. No logins, no signups, no accounts, no hassle. So what are you waiting for? Start streaming at play.xumo.com or download from the app and Google Play stores today. All you can stream with Xumo Play.
The 2024 presidential campaign features two candidates who are very well known to Americans. And yet, there's complexity at every turn. Criminal trials for one of those candidates. Young voters who are angry. The Campaign Moment podcast from The Washington Post gives you what matters. I'm Aaron Blake, and I'm covering my 10th election cycle. My colleagues and I have insights that you won't find anywhere else. So follow The Campaign Moment right now, wherever you're listening.
So again, we were talking about relationships. All of this manifested into my dating life because, you know, again, like, my mental health journey wasn't just solved at 5 or 7 or 12. My hormones are coming in, like my environment, you know, what's really going on here? And I think, like, even still now, as I'm 35, I'm still unpacking that, the trauma that comes with that, you know, and
refilling those kind of voids for the younger version of yourself. Because you can't, I mean, talk therapy only gets you so far. You know, it's not like you can go to your – it's not like – if going to your parents and getting an apology actually helped, we would all be fucking cured than not.
Like, I don't care about the apology. Right, exactly. I'm just like, let's get my mind right.
Yeah. And it can be, like, overwhelming and scary to, first of all, like, realize that it's not right in the first place. You're like, you need, like, at least one foot on the ground.
Right.
So how – so have you been – do you feel more grounded as you get older?
In some ways, yes. In some ways, no. I mean, I very much struggle with my depression on a constant basis. And I've been off medication for since I was 26 or 27. So it's been less than 10 years. I definitely medicate with weed. You know, I self-medicate.
Same.
I exercise and I go to therapy. And I have a supportive boyfriend.
Very helpful.
And
so what was it? Was there a reason why you went off the depression medication?
Yeah, it did not make me feel good. I just felt
lethargic or?
It felt like cloudy up there. And it felt.
Yeah, because some people say that when they take the medication, it's like a cloud is lifted and finally they can see straight. But you felt like.
No, I've tried so many medications. I mean. Anytime anyone tells me, I'm like, yeah, I tried that. Yeah, I tried that. And I was so young. My brain wasn't even fully developed.
Right. Yeah.
And for me, I'm an advocate for medicine. I'm an advocate for find what works for you. I'm not going to be like, oh, just smoke weed about it. Because I think there are definitely people who need medication if it's the right medication. But I also think that there is some of us who might have gotten taken advantage by the pharmaceutical industry our parents,
the prescribing happy people and if parents are just like, give her a pill please, and it's like, well, that's not a one size fits all solution.
I don't think necessarily medication is the approach. I mean, like, it's a massive level, like a lot of kids are having problems, like what's going on at the schools, you know, what are we doing?
Yeah.
You know?
And I think a lot of people's mental health problems is just stemming from, like, I didn't get the love I needed as a kid. And so it's just a matter of figuring out, like, okay, how do I supplement that for myself, from me to me now?
Right. And that's the other thing. It's not just like the schools. It's like what's also going on at home, because I don't want to place the blame necessarily on the teachers, because it's not that. But it's like, I think we're failing kids, and you can start to see it very much. Like, we didn't grow up the way our parents did. Like, our parents, you know, and they're, for a lot of them, I mean, some of them, they had that, like, 50s and 60s, like,
harshness.
Like, that, but also it just, they didn't necessarily have the problems. They were getting, like, beat by their parents. There was, like, they were more, like, obedient. There wasn't room to, like, they weren't being medicated like we were. Like,
yeah.
Because, yeah, I think they just were disciplined differently. Yeah. And I just think, yeah.
We got a stick, we got a pill.
Yeah, something. But yeah, it's just wild. And so, yeah, I mean, I don't know. I try to work at it. I try to just get better.
Yeah.
And be better, because it's not a destination. It's a journey.
It's the journey. Yeah. But it is true. So the relationship you're in now, how long have you been with your current boyfriend?
3 years, yeah.
Oh, nice. That's nice. Yeah. And how's it going? Like, how do you introduce your mental health issues when you enter a relationship? I imagine it's different with every person.
Yeah. I was straight up honest with him on our first date that I was mentally ill. I was like,
you said it that way?
I mean, I just was like,
it's easy when it's a comedian, I guess.
Yeah. I mean, you know, we met at a time, he was very close with Brody. Brody had passed away. Oh, Brody had, you know, struggled with mental health. And I know that was something that really affected Matt.
Yeah.
And for me, I have had issues in the past where, how do I tell someone that I have mental illness, like, or that, you know, I have this, or, you know, this is what
you deal with. Yeah.
Right. Is it, are you still sexy after that? Like, is this a,
yeah,
you know, no, I've had a boyfriend where, you know, he knew, I don't remember what he knew, but there was a point where he noticed that there was something off
with us and
me, in a sense of the way I reacted to things and just, you know, you get to know someone. He wasn't perfect either, but, we met up with one of his family members and she was like, oh, I was diagnosed with borderline personality disorder. And I was like, oh, my doctor recently told me about that too, because that was the last diagnosis this is the latest diagnosis as an adult that I've received. Mm-hmm. Like as a kid, they thought it was bipolar this, and I've gotten second opinions. And the latest is, yeah, they call it borderline. They're looking to rename it because the way it sounds is not appropriate to you know, it's like a motion regulation something. Like, yeah, they're trying to rebrand it, okay?
So, well, and borderline's also one of those terms like narcissism that gets probably thrown around a lot more and is less understood.
Mm-hmm. So so when this family member opened up to me in front of my ex, and I was like, oh my God, that's, yes, you know, we're connecting. Yeah. He was so upset. He felt like I had betrayed him, like he was dating this other person that he, you know.
So he made it about him.
Oh, yeah. And it just, it was really horrible. It's, huh, especially as someone with what I was going with what I go through. That's right, the last thing.
The notion of borderline personality is like fear of abandonment and stuff, right? And that's like he's basically using a diagnosis like that's very sensitive information against you.
Yeah. So that was something, you know, Jesus. I've had situations like that where it's like, listen, you know, if someone's going to like me or is interested in me, then I just need to put it out there because this is who I am. This is what I'm dealing with. And I don't ever want to feel like I'm trapping someone or that I've gotcha'd them. Mm-hmm. I'm very, I'm very much on top of trying to get on top of this part of my life.
Yeah.
So on our first date, I was like, yeah, I have borderline. And he has a whole joke about how he was like, well, I have a boner. So, you know, it was kind of, he loves me and he loves me. I'm not the borderline.
Yeah, it's a facet. And also too, I feel like stuff like borderline personality and bipolar disorder, a lot of times it feels like, I've done a lot of research on like childhood trauma and stuff. Mm-hmm. It feels like these are trauma responses.
Yeah.
And like the craziest shit can fucking traumatize a child. Mm-hmm. So it's like, we just have to get used to this notion that human children are very sensitive.
Yeah.
And a lot of personality disorders can be defense mechanisms, mm-hmm. Which makes all the sense in the world. Mm-hmm. Something like fear of abandonment, which is like a key to one of the foundations of borderline. Like, it would make sense that that would be a response to not getting the love that that particular child needed in that way. Like, it's, you know.
Yeah. So as I get older and I start to find these things out about me and, you know, I get good information. It all makes sense.
Yeah.
You know? So, and especially, you know, there's that saying, if you line up your ex-boyfriends, you can see your mental health history.
Ah!
And it's so true.
That kicks me in the cunt.
It
wow,
really
yeah.
is true.
I never heard that. I love that.
Woo!
So, so yeah.
Oh, can you speak a little bit more about, because I know, you know, kind of like the rebranding of borderline, you know, and what it actually means.
So I have emotion dysregulation when it comes to emotions. I have a hard time managing them, but a lot of it is stemmed from fear of abandonment, rejection. And a lot of that is from what I experienced as a child.
Okay.
And she's right. Like this is just learned responses from things that you go through. Yeah. And they say it happens with a lot of working moms who aren't at home with the kid. Like both of my parents worked.
Right.
So I was left at home with someone who may not have been qualified to watch children.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
Or,
yeah.
And you know, it's not like, I don't know. I think that, yeah, it definitely, as I get older, it's like, oh, okay, this is because of that.
And so you've been with your boyfriend for 3 years. Mm-hmm. The thing that's so interesting to me about like borderline and bipolar and even like PMS, to be honest, like all of these things that can affect a woman's mood, like when you're getting into a fight with your boyfriend, like like, have you ever had these moments of like, is this a personality disorder thing on my end, or are these my actual feelings?
He will be like, this is a borderline thing. Matt has taken it upon himself to educate himself even more than me. He would sit here and have a full on hour conversation with you about borderline on stuff that I don't even know, because for me it's hard. Sometimes it's hard for me to learn about this stuff because it's you know,
so personal,
and it's sad.
Yeah.
You know, because when you realize, oh, this is because of something I probably went through as a child.
Yeah. And you get sad for the little Rachel, like the little 7-year-old or 6-year-old you. Like, oh, that baby girl. That, like,
I know.
Oh. And it is emotional.
So it's hard sometimes for me to, you know, get so into it. But as someone who has to date me, you know, he's had to educate himself. And
who wants to date you?
He loves me. He loves me. I love him. You know, and everyone who's in my life tells Matt that he's the guy for me. He's the perfect person for me. I've never dated anyone like him.
That's lovely.
And so he really, if you are borderline, you know, because it does affect your relationships. And, you know, when we get into arguments, or it's an identity thing too. Sometimes I'll wake up and I'm like, I have a hard time realizing who I am. Or like, you know, because some days I'm like, I say the worst things to myself.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's like, it's good I have someone there who's so educated to be like, this is your borderline acting up.
Yeah.
And even then, it's hard for me to believe him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So you really have to put your trust in him.
Yeah. So it's not fun, you guys, but.
Yeah. It's a journey. And it's a constant, like, mental gymnastics.
Totally. Totally. But I feel very lucky because I have a good support system. Comedy has been so good for me and also terrible for my mental health, but also good because it's been validating for me in a lot of ways that, you know, I belong here. I have a place, you know, somewhere here.
Yeah, that's incredible. So, and you've carved out a place for yourself. You worked for that.
Trying.
Yeah, that's great. Yeah. So we
wanted to talk a little bit about, like, you know, I kind of have this theory that everyone has a superpower when it comes to relationships. Mm-hmm. My superpower is breakups. What would you say your superpower is?
Empathy.
And then I asked you what yours is, and you said maintaining friendships with exes.
Well, I wouldn't say it's a superpower, because I am – when you ask me, when you asked me that question – Matt and I were at my ex-boyfriend's parents' place.
Oh, wow.
In Vermont.
Wow.
Functional as shit.
Okay. What?
That's great.
So,
was your ex-boyfriend there?
He was there.
Wow.
The mother of his child.
Okay.
His wife, future wife.
Yeah.
Who I love. And his newborn son.
That's beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
And he was my first love, Jeremy, at 19. Mm-hmm. We dated in college, and this was the thing. And here's the context, because I think Matt was dreading, you know, me telling this. But I'm like, there's so much when you tell the context, and I think when you kind of get to know me and realize, like, oh, this is how this is able to be. I got sent away when I was 17 to Utah to a lockdown. So I was there for my senior year of high school.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Wait, what's
like,
that?
Like one of those things at the Paris Hilton schools?
Yeah.
Oh,
that
my
sucks.
God.
So I was there for 13 months.
Oh.
And then I graduate and I get accepted into this school in Vermont, which is a small liberal arts school, but you have to have like a learning disability to go there.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Which I have several.
Okay.
Nice.
Yeah. Right. And I was like, oh,
check,
perfect.
Check,
yeah.
Check.
I was like, which one? And so through that, I was able to go to college because I just didn't have the grades in high school, because I just didn't learn the way everyone else did. I'm just not like everyone, you know.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I got to, you know, I'm at college and I meet my first boyfriend, and his mother worked in the bookstore of the college. And so she was just like this mother figure. I mean, students would just go to her. She has a magnetic force to her. She loves kids, and Jeremy's her only son. And Jeremy and I had class together, and we start dating. And I remember he brings me to introduce me to her, and I go over to their house for dinner. Mind you, I'm a Vegas girl moving to Vermont. I don't know anyone. I've never even heard of Vermont. What is it? And here I am.
Too many trees.
I meet a local boy.
Yeah.
And I have a home to go to, and I don't have to stay on campus.
A loving maternal figure
with the weirdos.
Emotions.
Right.
That's got to be new.
And here I am coming from this place in Utah for a year, and plus the place that, you know, the home that I came from. And here I am meeting this woman who just embraces me. And I've had exes, you know, I've had one ex who just their mom didn't like me, but it was more of a projection thing. It had nothing to do with me, you know? And that's not a good feeling.
Yeah.
And so I've always been kind of, I always wanted the parents to like me. And so she just embraced me and just made me feel normal. And I told her everything about all the medications and the stuff. And his parents were like, you don't need that shit. Like, you're great. You know, like, you know, they've just made humanized me.
And they place an importance on how you felt about things, which is really nice.
Yes. And they, you know, I learned so much from this woman, Kim. She taught me how to cook. You know, she's such an important person in my life. And sorry, I get so emotional about it.
Well, that's good. That makes a lot of sense. That's a huge impact for a woman that your mother's age to be. Like, I have two women in my life that are around my mother's age that mother me in a way that I'll never be able to repay them.
So I just got so close to his parents.
Yeah.
And, you know, Jeremy and I was never the love of his life, and that's okay. And he was my first love. And, you know, that relationship was beautiful and horrible and necessary.
Yeah.
And even after our relationship ended, she still wanted to maintain a relationship with me and his dad. And
that means a lot.
That was really hard on him. On Jeremy.
Oh, it was hard on him. Interesting.
And, you know,
did he break up with you? Did you break up with him?
He I was not the love of his life.
Right.
I was, you know, and wasn't necessarily mine, but he was my first love. And, you know, and it just wasn't meant to be. But, you know, you're young and you need a first love. It teaches you so much.
Yeah.
So I didn't just have a first love. I had this family.
Yeah, you had a first maternal sense of love too.
So they took such good care of me. I lived with them. I didn't have to live on campus. Like, I learned so much from them. And so Jeremy, you know, he had a hard time with this. Respectfully, I get it. I couldn't do it.
Mm-hmm.
I would be very upset with my parents. And so
did you have a bad breakup though?
I had a breakup where this person didn't want me in his life. Like, he didn't want to maintain anything with me.
Contact.
Also, he's 19. He wants to go out and live his life.
Right. Like, did he live with his parents?
At that time, he did.
Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah.
I ended up, you know, moving out and moving in with a friend who's also a mother figure. These two women who are very important to me.
Great.
They're both in Vermont. And I got to see both of them this weekend. And so, you know, there were very many years where, you know, Jeremy started a relationship with someone. And so he blocked me on social media, which is understandable. And I let it go, but I still talked to his mom. Like, I never asked about her son. Like, it was kind of an understanding where, you know, we have our own thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And also with Jeremy, it's like, cool, our relationship's over, but the real love that I found is with your mom.
Yeah.
So.
And so, you know, I think there was, you know, I think he maybe came to terms with it and just kind of accepted it, because it was like, I wasn't trying to be in his life anymore. Like, I really just at this point was just, you know, grateful that these people wanted to maintain a connection with me. And and I only wished him the best, and I had love for him, and also understood that he's young. You know, we're at this point, we're so young, like we're 19.
Yeah.
So as time goes on, you know, him and this girl, they break up, and I see that he either sent me a friend request or he popped up as like a recommendation to
He unblocked you.
Yeah.
Obviously.
So he took the necessary step to unblock me, and we end up reconnecting.
Did you date again?
We briefly dated again in college, but again, it just, you know.
You're like, oh, yeah, this is why we didn't work.
100%.
You tried it. It makes sense to try, though. When you have such a bond with a person's
parents. I was just like, how could I not try? Because I would never normally, I don't, I'm not a go back sees. Like,
yeah.
Neither, I hear none you. Of my yeah. exes want to go back. We don't want to go back. This was the only one that was like.
It does feel like you're reversing.
Yeah. And so, you know, we tried to rekindle things. And again, it just, it wasn't meant to be. And I was okay with that. And
yeah.
like, he was, at this point, he knows that, like, I'm not going anywhere. Like,
yeah.
I'm like,
yeah.
grossly like a sister to him in a way, because there's nothing like that between us anymore. And that's okay. And I'm okay with that.
Yeah.
But thank you so much for sharing your mom with me.
Yeah.
And you know, there's, I did get into a relationship, the one where the guy shamed me for my mental health.
Mm.
He was like not okay with me keeping in contact with this
person. Of course
person,
not. That all lines up.
Even yeah. though.
Interesting.
She was the one who set me and this ex up.
Interesting.
Because he was also a former student at that college. So it's kind of messy, kind of, you know, not yeah. messy, but it's
and
a
I
lot.
Would trust her recommendation.
Right.
And she does, obviously she's never dated the guy, so she doesn't fucking know what he's like.
And this
boyfriend.
Was after the rekindling with her son. So I think she felt like, oh, maybe, you know.
Maybe someone else would.
Yeah.
Help. Yeah.
So.
Well, it's also, I mean, there's so many people. It's weird because there are so many people that I'm friends with that I would absolutely never recommend my friends to date. Mm-hmm. And it's sometimes it's hard to justify. It's like, okay, well, why are you friends with someone that wouldn't make a good partner? But it's not like because they're a terrible person.
They're just different.
Just everyone isn't meant to be a partner. But I mean, some of the people are absolutely
right.
bad people. Yeah. Well, so I have guy friends that are awful boyfriends, but fantastic friends.
100%. And like I have guy friends wow. and I'm like, please don't go
do you
near my
hate-
sister.
Yeah.
Don't go near
it's
my-
like they hate if like a woman is under your like romantic or sexual interest eye, ugh, run girl. Mm-hmm. But if she's under a friendship eye, you're safe, mm-hmm. which is odd.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sure there's
the respect
a million
is
reasons.
Still there.
But- Well, okay. It's hard. I've actually started like recently shaving kind of those people out of my life because I'm like, well, if you don't respect women in relationships, we really can't be friends.
Yeah.
You know, it's hard. It's hard though. There's slim pickings in this
yeah.
business.
Yeah, totally. There is.
Yeah.
But it's good. So your current boyfriend is like completely understanding of that.
So when Matt and I first started dating, this is part of the package. It's like, okay, so I have this. Also, there's, you know, eventually I told him about Kim because, you know, it's like, this is a mother figure in my life. I used to date her son when we were 19. You know, it was a childhood love. Like,
yeah, it feels so long ago.
So long ago. So when Matt and I first started dating, like I ended up, because he moved to New York briefly, and I ended up meeting him out here, and we ended up going to Vermont because I wanted him to meet my parents.
Yeah,
know?
Yeah.
I brought him home, and Jeremy was not living there at the time. He was still out, you know. In Colorado. So I'm glad I got to bring Matt home and be like, hey, like, you know, these are important people. And mm-hmm. we got to have that experience together. So this weekend, you know, because Kim's been dying for me to come out because I never get to go out to Vermont anymore. It's been a couple years because of the pandemic and I'm traveling so much now and it's so hard to get out there. You have to fly into either Boston or Connecticut and then drive. Anyway, so... her son has moved back and he has a baby and a beautiful, beautiful future wife. And I just love it's so interesting because he ended up with someone just like his mom.
Ah.
And I think I ended up just like kind of like the direction of what my parents had this strong, it's got to be strong if the relationship is strong. And so I feel lucky that I get to have this, you know, and we all four of us, me, Jeremy, Celine, Matt, we went all around Vermont together. And it's like this modern thing. I don't know. I think in some ways it's like, why does it have to be a certain way? Just
fuck convention.
Because, you know, I think I very much am against like, don't be or talk to anyone that's not good or talk, you know, good for you if it's toxic, but. I think there's sometimes gray areas in life where certain things are just how they are. And
yeah, and on that same coin of like, don't go towards people that are toxic for you. Keep the people in your life that offer you like love and compassion and kindness and that you have. Like, I don't know I'm really into woo-woo stuff. I've been rereading all of Dr. Brian Weiss's books, which he wrote this like groundbreaking book called Many Lives, Many Masters about past lives. And like listening to your story, I'm like 100% that woman was your mom or your sister or your spouse in another life.
Yeah.
Like that connection is so beautiful and like that should be honored.
Yeah,
and you're honoring
you can't
it.
Pick where those come from.
Not
either.
At all.
Not well, at all.
And it was interesting because when you messaged me that was something that you do, I laughed because I was like, oh, I'm like literally vehemently against being friends with exes. But now hearing the story,
yeah,
obviously this is a very unique situation.
It's so unique.
And also, I do think there is something about the amount of time that's gone by. To me, a relationship that I had when I was 19 is so, that's like, it's like that person had a relationship with a different human.
Yeah.
You know, that's not even totally Ryan anymore.
Totally. And I feel, and that's why I say it's like, if you say, oh, I just brought my current boyfriend back home to my ex-boyfriend's parents' house, people are like,
right.
Is he problem? Okay? Like, yeah. But there's a story behind that and there's a history. And yeah, like you said, you can't control where those people who unconditionally love you come from.
Yep.
You just got to be lucky that you have that.
And when you discover it, that's so beautiful. And it's so breathtaking. It's a breathtaking part of your life and it's nurturing. And so it's very healing.
And so, and ultimately, like, I just feel so good about it, about the whole thing, about ever having dated him, ever having, you know, just the whole, anything that we ever went through at 19 that might have seemed like the end of the world, you know, I just am so happy it turned out the way it did.
Yeah.
So
and is he at peace with the whole thing now?
He is such a good. It's so weird to see him be a dad because that's the one thing that we were talking about and why, you know, we would never work out. We're so much alike. Like I'm such a self. I can be so selfish. And he was an only child. So he didn't, you know, there's a level of selfishness that I think comes with that naturally. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's so beautiful to see what a woman can do or the right person. And what that can bring into your life. And I'm so happy for them.
Yeah. You know? Oh, me too. Now.
I love them.
I love them too. That's so great.
They're beautiful. And yeah, I just, I really, you know, and I love that Matt is so like accepting and that Jeremy got to meet Matt and to see me that I have such a good guy in my life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And they got along great. It was so weird to see them together because it's like, I knew they'd be friends.
Yeah.
You know?
And that's so cool.
And yeah, it's just it's such a rare situation.
Mm-hmm. I love that. And I love unconventional
stories. I hope anyone like that. Who has that situation just celebrate it because it makes life interesting.
Yeah, it does.
Well, and also I think I must have heard a clip somewhere like floating around Instagram about, you know, kind of Matt meeting you or seeing you for the first time. And it reminded me a lot of the story that you told about your parents because he was like, this girl is going to be my girlfriend. Uh-huh. So there's so many overlaps into your parents' story and you and Matt's story.
Sorry, you guys. I'm so emotional because I just got done. I literally came from seeing them and it's just the no, whole thing I'm processing. And yeah, you're right. I really thought about it last night. I was like, wow, we really ended up with who we should be with. And
it's a good lesson. That. It's a good lesson too. And like, and I've heard this first on Dan Savage's podcast and I echo it as many times as I can think of. It's like, just because a relationship ends doesn't mean it's a failure. Like there's so many successes that come from ended relationships and there's obviously such a very clear, beautiful, multiple takeaways from your relationship
and
with Jeremy.
Although our relationship may have ended romantically, we will be in each other's lives forever.
Yeah, which is so much thicker than romantic love in a way.
In such a better way. So, and again, like Jeremy and I don't talk. Like there's no, we really don't speak that much. Like if it's more like, oh, you know, this fun at your mom, you know, I'm going to see your mom or whatever. And well, now that he's, you know, back home and it's like, if I go out there, we'll obviously all spend time together. But for the most part, for the last however many years since I left college, like I've really just only spent time with his parents because he wasn't back there yet. So it's like a new chapter in this weird situation. I don't know.
I love that. That's fucking
but
great.
Yeah, it was really fun bopping around with my current boyfriend and my ex-boyfriend and the mother of his child yesterday.
I love that.
But yeah, great times. Good. Love them.
Good. What you, because you are signaling to us, right? I can't see you and you're like, you're giving us things. Okay.
Oh, it's wrapped.
Yeah. Okay. So I think it's time to wrap up, but thank you so much for sharing your story with us.
And
it was nice to sit down and talk to you.
I'm not used to getting so emotional on podcasts.
Oh, no, yeah, it's good.
It's kind of
his chair.
Yeah. This is the Guys You Fuck podcast is known for.
Oh my gosh.
Being an emotional place.
We get vulnerable, man.
Mm-hmm. So where can we find you? Where can people see more of you? See you perform?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I am on, Twitter, Instagram. I literally just malfunctioned. You watch that.
I'm on Instagram at Rachel Wolfson. I'm on Twitter at Wolfie Comedy. My DMs account is at Wolfie DMs, which is all the crazy DMs I've received from mainly men, but also women, and anything in between, whatever you identify as. And
everyone can be pieces of shit. Doesn't matter what your gender
is. Does not matter. Does not discriminate. And so I have tour dates on my site. You know, I'm just enjoying the process of learning this craft and hopefully becoming, you know, great at it.
Awesome. Hell yeah. Well, thank you so much. Thanks for coming. I'm welcome to New York. I know you love it here.
Thank you.
This has been Guys We Fucked, the Anti-Slut Shaming Podcast. We'll talk to you next Friday. Guys We Fucked is presented by Luminary.
Created and hosted by Corinne Fisher and Christina Hutchinson.
Editing and music coordination by Mike Coscarelli. Theme song by Rob Patterson and Jake Kozen.
Suck my wet ass pussy.
Christina said to cut that before, but now it's in there.
Yeah, let's keep it. Who cares?
But who knows where the big dick energy I treat me so good to it so bad. I know it's nice in LA, but you should come to where I'm at. Cause I keep it fluid, all the stuff is included. Stay alive, so I'm rooted. Dreams to keep it elusive. If you thought I was foolish, with my patience, you know it. That's how I used to do it. Now don't test me, I'm out. If you take all my time like you're using. Don't hype me up, no excuses. In my feels like it was Cupid. I don't like show. Miss me if that's how you do it. Ooh, look at us, she got so much juice. No, it isn't me, but it's you. And you're aware again about the nothing inside my head.
Yeah, I took some shroomies and focused on imagery. Whipping the bottom of like chemistry, focus on commas, but always got sense in me. Focus intensity, know what I'm meant to be. When they hit snippets, they lose if I said to me. Haters were staring in the room, but not step to me. She want me y'all in the buzz like a sesame. Trick is Medusa, she never protected me.
This episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. It's a simple truth. No matter who you are, mental health challenges can affect you, and how you manage them can make all the difference. That's why everyone should have access to mental health support that meets them where they are and helps them get through. BetterHelp provides online therapy on your schedule. It's flexible, simple to use, and more affordable than in-person therapy. Connect with a licensed therapist selected just for you. Learn more at BetterHelp.com. That's BetterHelp.com.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
We are the voice of NASCAR.
The green flag is in the air, and we are underway. The Great American Race.
The Motor Racing Network. NASCAR Cup, Xfinity, and Craftsman Truck Series Racing. Live on your hometown radio station and MRN or NASCAR.com. Martinsville, Talladega, the Chicago Street Course. We have the side-by-side action and last lap passes for the win.
Photo finishes. Ryan Blaney will win.
The voice of NASCAR. The Motor Racing Network. Work.
Xumo Play is your destination for endless entertainment. With a diverse lineup of 350-plus live channels, movies, and full TV series, you'll easily find something to watch right away. And the best part? It's all free. Love music? Get lost in the 90s with iHeart 90s, dance away with hip-hop beats, and more on the iHeart Radio music channels. No logins, no signups, no accounts, no hassle. So what are you waiting for? Start streaming at play.xumo.com or download from the app and Google Play stores today. All you can stream with Xumo Play.